This episode is brought to you by the Old Dominion Athletic Foundation. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Become a member today.
Monarch Nation, welcome back to the Monarchist Basketball Show. As always, my partner in crime, Mike Langston, and head coach Mike Jones. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Excited about these next three games at home.
Absolutely. Before we talk about those, let's talk about the past week. The last time we discussed, we were leading up to ULM on Wednesday. Didn't come out of that with a victory. Let's talk about that game a little bit.
Yeah, just, you know, I kind of feel like we – first of all, we didn't come out ready to play. I feel like we were feeling sorry for ourselves a little bit because we knew we didn't answer the bell the second leg of that road trip to Arkansas State and Texas State. And I think we didn't answer the call. And it, you know, we fought, you know, to get back in it, but we had put ourselves in such a hole and given ULM a lot of confidence. And, I mean, like I said this last week when I spoke to you guys, like, they're better than their record. Those guards are incredibly talented. We got to see that. I think all three of them had 20-plus. We didn't answer the call there, and it was very disappointing.
So you mentioned maybe you guys were feeling bad for yourselves after the Texas State trip. How early in the game or in the day did you know that that might be lingering?
I mean, to be honest with you, I probably knew it the night before that we weren't necessarily as mentally locked in as we needed to be. We tried to address it, and, you know, they jumped on us. Not the horrible start, but they definitely imposed their will from the first play. You know, one of their kids who had not shot great from three hit two threes to start out the game, and, you know, again, his confidence went through the roof, and we didn't have it.
So in that game, I know rebounding was something that really hurt us. There's a big disparity, but the next game against Ohio, you guys get the dub, and most of the game we're kind of losing the rebounding battle, but towards the end of the second half, something kind of changed, and we really took off. We ended up winning that rebounding battle. Let's talk about Ohio a little bit.
Well, I think the biggest thing with that is we were fighting on every possession. Just unfortunate we didn't get more early on, but we stuck to it. We kept, you know, we've put an emphasis on a few things here lately, and one of those has been just being as physical as we possibly can, especially with our box out. You know, as the game wore on, we got more rebounds because we kept after it. We kept after it, and we did not veer off from what the game plan was in terms of boxing out and going to find bodies and hitting people and then really actively pursuing the ball. And a couple of our guys did that pretty well, Cal being one of them.
For me, walking into the Chartway on Saturday, I was surprised by the crowd, given what we saw on Wednesday. Complete 180 and the crowd showing up. And I feel like it had a really big impact late in the game.
Oh, no question. The energy in there, the excitement, I hate to say it like this because you don't have any control over it, so to speak. But, you know, we played harder because of the energy in that building. You hit a couple of shots. And, you know, when Jared hit his two shots, he had a three and then a toe on the line two, and how loud it got in there and just – the vibe that our players got, our sideline got. I mean, that was tremendous. And it just goes to show, like, just we have such a great fan base, such a great facility. You know, it's just a great basketball environment. And, you know, I was happy to see Saturday our guys feed off of that.
All right. I need to take a step back. I want to ask you a question, and I don't want to get you in trouble, but this is an education for Aaron. In the ULM game, towards the end of the
game. About the goaltending.
Yes.
Oh man.
Not a reviewable.
So, three officials that have been really good. So I don't. Yeah, that was quite unfortunate, and you know, you don't blame anything on that. Who knows what happens if that call is, or that play is, officiated correctly. But like, let's be clear: one, it was 100%, no doubt about it, goaltender. Two, what should have happened was the referees call goaltending in a close game like that. That there's any confusion, whether it is or it isn't, you call it. And like, that is so unfortunate because to me, it was an easy call. Now, part of the explanation that I've been given is we were pressing, we stole the ball, we threw it underneath the basket, and we go right up with it. So in the transition of being on defense, getting a steal, being on offense, and shooting that quickly, the referees weren't necessarily in the positions they normally would be in. So seeing the goaltend, well, let's just say it was just more difficult to see. And I don't have any choice but to accept that. But that was a huge call, a huge no call. If you think about it, what happens? We get our shot blocked. They go down. We have to foul. That it changes. Now, you call it. Think about what just happened. We had a set defense. We steal the ball. We score. You call goaltending. We get to set our defense again. And potentially something similar happens. If nothing else, we definitely have them on their heels. And we don't get the benefit of any of that. Forget just the 2 points, but just the momentum that would have provided us. Unfortunate. Thanks for asking me, because that was a huge play. But again, we put ourselves in that position. You know, I would like to think that 99 times out of 100, we perform way better than we did in that game, and it doesn't come down to something like that. But in a 2-possession game, that was a huge play.
So in the post game, you talked about the early practice after ULM.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what the leaders on the team, kind of how they reacted to that game, the ULM.
How they reacted to the game?
What was their kind of like their focus like on Thursday after the ULM game?
To be honest with you, at 6 a.m., I don't know. You know, we, as I mentioned, like, you know, it was not my suggestion. I was talked into doing it by the staff. We came in, we met as a staff at 5 a.m. and we kind of mapped out how, all right, so we got them in here this early. What are we doing? Like, what's our vibe? Is this punitive? Is this, we pouring positivity into them? Like, hey, we've got Ohio in a couple of days. Are we going to start working on them? Like, and it was literally, No. Like, we're literally just going to worry about us. So we got in there. So we met from 5 to about 5:55. We all go down to the floor. Coach Saha, you know, got them and stretched them and warmed them up. And then we got after. We started competing immediately. So, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 6'10", 6'12". We're going full tilt. And it wasn't pretty basketball. It wasn't fluid. It wasn't, I mean, it looked like basketball being played at 6 a.m. in the morning, but they competed. They did not whine. They all showed up on time, ready to go. Like, you know, you got to get taped. You got to, all the stuff you got to do before 6, they all did that. So the, what I took away from it was, no matter what, these guys ain't quitting. They're here. They're ready to go. And for whatever good or bad we can get out of this, like, we're still in here together. And then we came back at 2 and had a normal practice, got up some shots and things like that. And then we totally dove into Ohio on Friday. So Thursday was really good for us from a mental standpoint, from a discipline standpoint, from a camaraderie and togetherness standpoint. And to be honest with you, those three areas is exactly what we needed.
So in the game the other night, Robert ended up being a game time decision and Zach Wiggins ended up getting his first start, first career start. And, you know, Zach rallied. He's had two good games in a row for you.
Yeah, Mike, 20. He started a couple times. That was his first home game start.
First
non-conference start.
Yeah. But okay, first time he heard his name called in Chartway.
Okay, which is a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it gives you almost 27 minutes a couple nights ago, gives you over 30 minutes. If you look at the stat sheet, it's not anything spectacular, but he's around in a lot of places, grabbing rebounds, no turnovers, couple of assists. I think I probably ask you about this every time we get together, but can you talk about his development a little bit? I mean, it's hard being a true freshman coming in and playing meaningful minutes, but that's what he's getting now.
Yeah, and it's hard to do it in the physicality of just college basketball, and then the physicality of the Sun Belt definitely takes time to adjust to, but he's been great. He has been a breath of fresh air. When I left practice today, you know, Marshall's coming in a little bit later, so, you know, we can't, as we would, like yesterday, you can just shoot around till you don't feel like shooting anymore. Today, there's a time limit on it, and the last player in the gym today was Zach. And many times when I peek out of my window in the Mitch, you know, Zach's out there getting up shots. Like, he is putting in the work to improve. He is putting in the work to get his reps in. And everything you just said, like, I mean, he's taking care of the ball. He's becoming a better defender. He can shoot it. He can drive it. He's athletic. He can finish. You know, he's a playmaker. He can pass the ball. Like, he does a little bit of everything. And, hey, he's one of the reasons why we won. And like you said, his stat line didn't jump off the page at you. But, you know, the fact that he was out there for 30-plus minutes should tell you all you need to know. Like, we wanted him and needed him out there.
One thing I have noticed about him, and you could tell me whether it's common in someone who hasn't played that much college basketball, and especially as physical as our league is he seems to finish through contact or around contact pretty well.
He does. He does. And we were just literally teasing him, I think, yesterday. I asked you guys, how much do you think Zach weighs?
How tall is
he? 205.
205. Yeah, he's 6. Let's give him 6'4".
Yeah, 198.
Yeah, so we all kind of shortchanged him a little bit. Like, you know, Zach's a big boy. Zach's close to 210. And I never would have guessed that. And we were like at the scholarship luncheon yesterday at the table, and I forget how it came up, but that became a discussion. And I mean, he's really worked on his body. He's gotten stronger. But I think the biggest thing for him is he's the same. He could have missed a shot. You look at his face, there's no difference than if he made his last 5 shots. Unfortunately, at times if he turned the ball over, you can't tell. Like, you thought he just maybe made the best play ever or the worst play ever, because his facial expression doesn't change. And that calmness that he brings is pretty unique for a freshman. And it is something that definitely bodes well for his career, because he's not easily rattled.
And we talked about this from the post game, but Cal only having one foul at the half, I feel like it had a huge impact on how he was able to play in the second half. Talk to us about Cal and what he can do when he's avoiding those early fouls.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, the foul he had in the first half was an illegal screen. Like, it's I don't think anybody, and again, I don't want to speak for our fan base or anything like that, but I have always had the impression that none of us, myself included, appreciate him as much as we should. I'll go back to last year, and you know, who knows, we will we have won the game or not. But I mean, we're playing Arkansas State in our first game after the new year. We were 1-0 in the league after winning in overtime at Monroe. And it's a 32-32 game or something like that. It's a tie game beginning of the second half. And Cal gets whacked across the nose and breaks his nose and has to come out, and we lose. But we're going toe-to-toe with one of the best teams of, well, at that time, the best team in our league. You take Cal out of the equation, we're a different team. We're a different physicality team. We're a different defensive team. We're a different team. And, like, that was a year ago, and he's done nothing but gotten better. He is literally the linchpin for everything we do, especially around the rim. He is our anchor. And if he can stay out of foul trouble, like, again, we have so much more flexibility and versatility. You know, no offense to Ben and Don, but, you know, if Cal plays against JMU, we don't lose. And I would venture to say a couple other games, if he weren't in foul trouble, we've got a much better shot to win.
And he maybe had the best pass of the year in against Ohio.
Yeah, the back door or the alley-oop to
– the alley-oop as the layup alley-oop.
Yeah. We will not encourage that, but it was.
I know LJ looked a little worried for his job.
So let's be clear. Like, you know, those are one of those plays that when you're making it and it works, I'm not saying a word to you. Like, hey, you earned that. If you make that play or try to make that play and it doesn't work, my mind might explode. So for a team that doesn't always make the best decisions, and that was in crunch time. But to be honest with you, he didn't have many options. He did not have many options. So he made the play that was open and available, and he did it with confidence. And I don't know if y'all can hear him, but he asked me about it sitting there at the table in the presser afterwards. He was like, hey, what do you think about that pass? And so, but hey, I give him, it worked. It worked. So yeah, we're good to go.
Nice. Mike, you got any more that you want to talk about before we move on?
Well, I will tell Mike before he walked in, I had told Cal he may have made the pass of the year.
He and did say that.
Yeah.
So we talked about it for a minute, and then you walked in. So he was feeling good about himself.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. I mean, he played a great game. He played, you know, 14 points, 7 rebounds, however many assists, 3 blocks. Like, Casey's backdoor dunk in the first half was off of Cal. You know, and the thing is, he can still play better. He can still play better, and he wants to. I mean, you're talking about another young man who's very regimented and routine-oriented. Like, he has his routine. You can plan your day around it. He's going to be in there 90 minutes before practice. He's going to go through his own personal stretching, and then he's going to do the stretching with the team. You know, he eats a certain way. He does everything a certain way, and that discipline required to do that translates to his game.
And before we move on to the ad, I do think we need to talk about LJ's crunch time performance before we move on, because I believe with about 6 minutes to go, he had 0 points.
Yeah. I love that kid. I love that kid.
And I love the fact that he said, when they asked him about it in the post game, he said he wasn't happy with his performance.
Yeah.
At that point.
He didn't have the best start. I love that kid. He and I have a really good relationship, because I do feel like, and again, I don't mean this to demean anyone else, but I feel like I can actually coach him. I can communicate with him, sometimes with a high level of intensity, sometimes put him in close and, you know, give him some love with my words. But I feel like I can't communicate with him in whatever way the situation requires, and he is not going to wilt because of it. Like, he's going to listen, he's going to try to process, and he's going to try to respond in kind because of it. I really enjoy coaching him. He knows that, like, and again, my whole career I've been really, really hard on point guards because of their effect on everything. You know, he can tell you today, like, hey man, like, you, there are certain things you have to do, and to run this team for us to be the best team we can be. So I put a lot of pressure and ownership on him. And again, he definitely came up in clutch. Didn't have the best start, but as they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
I mean, not only did he come up with 13 points in like 6 minutes, but he went 7 for 7 from the free throw line. And I don't want to throw shade at any because the team went 16 of 18 from the line. I mean, great performance and only 6 turnovers for the whole squad.
And 6 turnovers, and like if you go back and count them again, Cal's illegal screen was a turnover. LJ getting a rebound but then having his heels on the baseline was a turnover. And then there's one other one that was just like just bad luck. I mean, we really took care of the basketball.
All right. Well, I think now's the time. We got to pay some bills, fellas. So 90 seconds, grab a drink, whatever you got to do. We'll be right back.
The Old Dominion Athletic Foundation, or commonly referred to as the ODAF, was established in 1964 as a nonprofit organization. The mission of the ODAF is to raise financial support for ODU athletics to ensure that our coaches and student athletes have the resources necessary to compete for championships. The ODAF is integral to the success of ODU Athletics and is the channel through which our fans and alumni can partner with our coaches and student athletes for the advancement of the athletics program. Through the generous efforts of our donors, loyal fan base, and community, the ODU alumni from around the globe, the ODAF raises money for student athletic scholarship support and endowments, capital projects, program-specific support, and athletic department operations. Funds are raised through annual giving, multi-year pledges, events, premium seating, and planned giving. With questions about how to get involved in one or more of these initiatives, reach out to an ODAF representative. Gifts to the ODAF are investments in the lives of our student athletes. ODAF members receive exclusive benefits such as priority points for postseason and away game seating, parking, VIP, and hospitality experiences, and more. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Contact the ODAF and become a member today.
That voice, Blaine, we know him anywhere. Awesome. So since people are watching this on Wednesday, and we're looking at the past, because that meant I edited this last night, we got a game. We got a game today, Coach.
Yes, sir.
We got a game at what, 7:30 p.m., I think it is? A little bit different than normal?
Yeah, because of the doubleheader. Yep.
That's right. So we've got Marshall. And since you mentioned it, it is a doubleheader. So I think the ladies tip off at 5 p.m., I think. So everybody get out there early, support the ladies before the men. So talk to us a little bit about Marshall. What should fans expect?
Incredibly talented team, one of the best teams in our league. When it comes down to who goes to the tournament from this league, Marshall will definitely be in that mix. They score the ball. They've got multiple guys that shoot a ridiculous percentage from three. They get out and transition really well. Not sure if Big Fella's healthy or not. They have a 7'4" kid who did not play their last two games. Two games ago, the league game midweek last week, he was dressed and didn't play. This past Saturday when they played Miami of Ohio, he was in a boot and did not dress. Don't know what that means for tomorrow, but if he doesn't play, the backup is 6'10". Their starting four man is 6'8", 6'9". They've got another 6'10 that comes off the bench. And then they've got guys that can make shots. One of the most offensively talented teams in our league. And we're going to have to guard our rear ends off tomorrow.
So doubleheader, obviously it impacts your schedule, but how much does it impact your game day preparation?
A lot. And this is not complaining, but it definitely changes. So, you know, what we'll do tomorrow is normally, you know, we're in the facility. If the game's at 7, all of our guys are in there by 5:30. We go through our position groups to get their workout in before we start working out as a team, about at the 42-minute mark or whatever, and then they go to about 30, and then we talk to them a little bit, and then they go back out, and they come back in the locker room at 12 minutes. And then go back out and finish their warm up at, let's say, 4 and 5 minutes or 6 minutes left on the clock. So, you know, three different segments. Tomorrow we will only get two, but we will, I guess, if you feel like you have to have that pre-workout that you normally would have around 5:30, obviously they can come a little bit later because of the women's game and just get shots up in the Mitch. But that is, it definitely changes the, what the normal game day routine is.
Oh, how nice is it to have a facility like the Mitch? So when you do have things thrown at you this way, that the fellows have the opportunity to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's we are so blessed and lucky. The Mitch is one of the best facilities I've seen, definitely at our level. But shoot, it competes with Power Five facilities when it comes to a practice facility as well. That the fact that they have 24-hour access to it, so not just in the situation we'll be in tomorrow, but I mean, 365 days a year, like when we're on campus, hey man, I can't sleep. I'm gonna go get some shots up. Or hey man, you know, I went 7 for 12 from the free throw line. Like something's not right with me. I'm gonna go in and get some free throws up. You know, we give credit to our managerial staff. Like those guys and young ladies are like, they're ready to go. Like you put in a group chat, hey, I need somebody to rebound for me at 8 a.m. And you've got guys like begging to be the ones to do it. We've got a really good thing here in terms of structure and infrastructure. And it's time all of that pays off for us in the win and loss column.
So I got two questions for you. First, with that weird game day schedule, obviously Marshall's impacted a little bit too. Will they have the ability to use the Mitch as well? Or is that just like, no, it's just
nah. For advantage.
Yeah, nah, I don't think so.
Speaking of practice facilities, during your trip to Texas, you go spend some time at the Spurs facility.
Yep.
Talk to us about that experience and what the guys took from it.
So, that was really cool. The gentleman that was running USA Basketball, our junior national team, that hired me to go from assistant coach to head coach of our junior national team. He is the general manager of the Spurs G League team and assistant general manager for the Spurs NBA franchise. So we reached out to him. You know, we wanted to do something cool with our guys, and the opportunity to do that doesn't exist after this season because Texas State's leaving. So we reached out, and he was very accommodating. It was a pretty cool experience just to be in there. Coach Popovich, like we were practicing, Coach Popovich, I didn't see him, but they told me afterwards he peeked his head into our practice, which is a tremendous honor for me. It was a pretty cool experience.
All right. So on Saturday, Valentine's Day, there's a lot going on campus. I think the women's tennis team's playing, and then baseball's playing, and then the women's basketball team's playing, and then you guys are playing, and there's an event going on. Let's talk about that first before the actual game. It's the retirement of Ronnie Valentine's jersey. It was supposed to happen earlier in the season, but perhaps it wasn't supposed to happen then because it's happening on Valentine's Day, and that's just...
Yeah. Valentine's Day means a little bit something different this year. This is absolutely 100% Mr. Valentine's Day. And it's going to be huge. And it happens to coincide with us celebrating our seniors because it will be senior day and alumni day. It is Saturday should be an unbelievable experience for just the community of Old Dominion University and our basketball program. And I'm excited to be able to be a part of, you know, what should be a memorable experience as we watch number 42 go up into the rafters.
Absolutely.
Listening at home, this is your warning. It's Valentine's Day. If you're planning on coming to the game, make sure you do something nice for your lady so she's not mad that she's watching basketball on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Be like me. We're doing it on Thursday.
All right. So Georgia State
is coming in. And the game's at 3:30. So come root us on to a win and go have a very nice dinner afterwards. You know, do your celebration. But let's spread the Monarch love. And we'll be spreading a lot of Monarch love inside Chartway all day long with the women and the men's team. And then you can go spend time with your significant other afterwards.
Absolutely. All right. Talk to us about this Georgia State squad.
Again, you guys know me. I'm locked in totally on Marshall. Georgia State, again, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, they were number two in the league. Again, very talented team. They've got the league's leading scorer in Jelani Hamilton. Many of us remember him from last year because he was very good. He's a power five portal get for them a year ago. They're good. They're good. They shoot it. They guard it. They rebound. They push. But again, we've got so much to worry about for Marshall. You know, if you guys want to talk again on Thursday, we can, but this is we're focused on tomorrow.
That's fair. And I'm not even going to ask you about the Louisiana game, but I want to make sure to put it on here because we probably won't talk before that. So the Louisiana game is on Monday, the 16th at 5 p.m. So if you're listening to this, make sure you put it on the calendar. You don't show up at 7 or don't show up on some other day. Yeah, we've got three ball games.
President's Day. A lot of us will not be at work. That is a day, again, and it'll be our last time playing in Chartway this season. So, yeah, these three games are incredibly important to what's going to happen here. I'm pretty sure Georgia State is just a couple notches above us in the rankings, and Louisiana is also just a couple spots above us in the rankings, and these three games that we're about to play will have a huge impact on our seeding.
Absolutely.
Right. And while next Monday is the last home game, this Saturday is senior day. So yeah. Get to your seats early so we can honor this big class of seniors. I guess a question I've asked other coaches, I may have asked you this last year, but senior day.
Yeah.
Some coaches think it should be earlier in the season so we can give them an appropriate good thank you and honor, but they don't want the distraction from the crucial late season game. What are your thoughts on senior day and when it should be done?
I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. It is what it is. I've never heard that before. It's when it is. Again, like for me, especially with everything we've got going on, I don't give a dang going. I just want to win the game. You know, we've got a number of seniors, and we got to figure out exactly, you know, lineups and things like that, what it'll look like on Saturday. But I know where we're placed, but we're in the thick of this. And I love these guys to death. Like these guys are my family. My job and my promise to them is I'm going to do everything we can to put us in the best position to be successful. So if the senior day was in December and January, if it's when it is what it is. I guess if you wanted a silver lining, I don't like our last home game because technically the 14th was supposed to be our last home game. I don't like the fact that there's still basically 2 weeks left in the season and we're never going to play at home again. So I wish that weren't the case. But other than that, we're just going to roll with the punches. Hopefully we can be talking here one day and we're doing so well that I can complain about stuff like that, but that we ain't there.
Me and Aaron have complained about this schedule all season long for you. The conference didn't do us any favors this year, and I hope it gets rectified because, again, we shouldn't be playing rivalry games in December. We shouldn't have weeks of the season remaining when we're playing our last home game.
Yeah. And you can go on. We shouldn't, you know, our first eight games of the conference season are against the same four opponents. That's, there's just so many layers to this. But again, right now, I am not in a position to complain about a daggone thing. Like, just figure out how to win a game, coach.
Well, we got three games, three dubs. And then it's not the fans' last opportunity to see you before Pensacola, because we have an event on Thursday the 19th at Afterglow. We have the main event. Mike, you're the main attraction. So opportunity for fans to come out and interact, ask questions. We're going to do that at 6 p.m. We'll do that for about an hour, and then we're going to watch the women's basketball game. They're on the road. We're going to have that up on the big screen and just have a good time. Really looking forward to that event.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. Regardless of what's going on, like, I love this community so much, and the opportunity to be amongst fans and just spend some time. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to get the vibe. You're going to ask me questions. Some of them are going to be great questions. Some of them are going to be questions that you personally want to know the answer to. I know what I'm walking into. Like, hey, ask away. You know, I will answer as best I can. But I'm doing this because, first of all, you guys, great idea. But then most importantly, because like I owe y'all. I owe our fan base. I am so blessed and lucky to be the coach here at ODU. I feel like our team is something that represents our community. And I just can't wait until it's representing our community, you know, going to NCAA tournaments and winning Sun Belt championships and all of that. And as this process goes, I look forward to the opportunity to be amongst Monarch Nation because it means that much to me.
Well, Mike, before I give you the floor to give your closing message to Monarch Nation, I just want to mention a couple quick things. It doesn't feel like it outside, but baseball season is starting on Friday.
Yes, sir.
Gary and CB have been pumping out the episodes. One just dropped on Tuesday, which they help you get ready for the season. There will be a link to the episode afterwards that you guys can do it. So bundle up, wear your electric jackets if you have them on Friday, because it's going to be 40 degrees. I will have mine on. More importantly, in about 2 weeks, we're going to have Clarice Mashanguana on the show. Obviously, a Hall of Fame Old Dominion women's basketball player, WNBA. But more importantly, the amazing things that she's doing in the world, more specifically Mozambique. If you haven't seen, they've had some catastrophic flooding in Mozambique, and we're trying to draw some awareness to what's going on over there and a call to action from Monarch Nation. So stay tuned for that episode in about 2 weeks. In the show notes, we will put a link to the GoFundMe that's out there right now, but keep an eye out for that episode. Mike, your message for Monarch Nation.
So let me piggyback on both of those messages. One, Clarice and I went to school together. I've been to Mozambique to do basketball clinics before. It's a beautiful country. So I would also encourage Monarch Nation that anything we can do to help, to please do so. One. Two, I'm so excited for our new baseball facility to be debuted and for our team to get out there. Friday is going to be a huge day. And I'm so excited for Coach Finwood and his squad. Like, let's have a great season. With that being said, Monarch Nation, we got three games left here in Chartway. We are literally two games out of fifth place. We have a tremendous opportunity to kind of set the stage for our last three games that'll be on the road. But I am begging you guys to come out and support tomorrow, Wednesday, or today as you're watching this, this evening. You know, we've got double headers the next two games with the women. Come early if you can to support them. And then stick around and, as we round into shape to play our best basketball when we get to Florida, this is going to be a tremendous opportunity for us for these next three games to kind of get true bearings of what we got to do those last three games to get the type of seed we want. So I am looking forward to saying thank you once again for what you did for us this past Saturday. And if we could just keep that going for these next three games, I'm telling you, these young men will perform, and we will make you proud. I'm looking forward to this week, looking forward to tonight, and go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.